What a difference it makes from the time you walked into this sanctuary until the time you walk out. A difference happens inside of you. And then your life begins to have a ripple effect as a result as well. And as you leave this place, as God's moved inside of you, you begin to change, right? Okay, a couple people do, so that's good. All right. And what a difference in that person or persons. But considering the fact I'm talking to all of you, how about all of us? All of us seek change to be greater and more, of course. Yes, amen, amen. And sometimes we want our circumstances to change, right? Wouldn't it be great if all of life's circumstances were upon us that were only good? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be great if all our circumstances were perfect? Then we'd be happy, right? There'll be some. See, there we go. There's our human nature showing up again. See, many, many times we just have different conflicting ways of being, don't we? Don't we? And there often is a difference sometimes in one way we act one time and another way we act another time. Wouldn't it be great to be consistent all the time, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? Amen, amen. So let's look at why I bring this up, because I love taking Bible stories and looking at a person in the Bible who is like us, a human being, and who believed in God, who followed God, and who sometimes got it right and sometimes didn't get it so right. Does that sound like most of us? But we're hoping and praying today to be more consistent with how we live and who we are as people and how we react to situations in our life. Wouldn't we want to react the way God would want us to react? Wouldn't it be great if we could react the way Jesus reacted? And we see in the scriptures how he did. So that's what we're learning, right? We're growing through that. So we're going to see what kind of difference we can be and become by coming here and hearing the word of God, and also looking at examples and saying, okay, what went wrong there? How did that, where was it different? Why was it like that? So let me go to that for you this morning. We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 24 for the first part of the story, because there's actually two stories I have to tell you, because remember I said we act one way one time and another way another time, right? I'm going to give you an example of that. So in case you ever get conflicted, just know that's part of being a human being. It is. But we're working towards growth, aren't we, to become more like Christ. So 1 Samuel 24, first verse. After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 special troops from throughout Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. This is when Saul is upset with David, because David had killed Goliath, and Saul was jealous. So from that time, he was hunting down David to kill him. So that's why David is on the run. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding in that very cave. Guess what happens? Confrontation, right? Just so happens, circumstantially, there's David and Saul. Now's your opportunity, David's men whispered to him. Today is the day the Lord was talking about when he said, I will certainly put Saul into your power to do with you as you wish. Then David crept forward and cut off a piece of Saul's robe. So he snuck up behind him, cut off a piece of the robe. Verse 5. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. The Lord knows I shouldn't have done it, he said to his men. It is a serious thing to attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. So David sharply rebuked his men and did not let them kill Saul. What do we call that? Mercy and forgiveness. He had him right in his hands, right? He had him right there. Could have done him in. But what happened? His conscience. God spoke to him. He remembered that Saul was God's anointed one and he wasn't supposed to kill him. So he made a good choice. He listened to his conscience, right? The Holy Spirit spoke inside of him. After Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him. My Lord the King. Now he's talking to him with respect, right? And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Wow. Wouldn't it be great if the people that owe you forgiveness, or maybe the people that you owe forgiveness to, instead of seeking revenge on you and giving you what you deserved, instead respected you and humbled themselves before you and bowed down before you and said, I forgive you instead. Then David shouted to Saul, why do you listen to people who say I'm trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave, and some of my men told me to kill you. Isn't it sometimes we listen to other people about why we should seek revenge? Why we should get that other person back? Why should we hold a grudge? Why we should, when we have the opportunity to give them what they deserve, we listen to other people that say, yeah, they deserve that after what they've done to you. Get them. Right? Right? Huh? Human nature at work, right? But I spared you. Wow. That's why we say that David had a heart after God, right? His heart was like God's in this moment. He said, I said, I will never harm him. He is the Lord's anointed one. Look, my father, at what I have in my hand, a piece of your robe. I could have done it if I wanted to. I had you right in my hands, but I decided to give you mercy instead. Was that a big day for David? Did David glorify God right there? Did David show how important it is to listen to his conscience, right? This is a good day for David, right? What a difference he's making, right? He's showing his men even. You don't seek revenge. You don't go after the people that harm you. You forgive them. That's what mercy is. You have them right in your hands, but you let them go. You set them free. Even though they don't deserve to be forgiven, you still don't punish them. Wow, what a great day for David. Verse 12, the Lord will decide between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you're trying to do to me, but I will never harm you. So that's up to God, right? Let God be the judge, right? We know that God is a righteous judge. Don't worry about seeking revenge on others. Let God take care of it, right? Verse 13, as the old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds. So see, David doesn't want to be evil, right? He doesn't. And by the way, this is a proverb that we hear later on in the New Testament that Jesus speaks of in Luke 6. The fruit, however you show your fruit, is what's inside of you, right? Good people do good. Right, awesome. So you can be sure I will never harm you. Wow, how awesome is that, right? Verse 16, Saul called back, is that really you, my son David? And he began to cry. Isn't it, when we forgive someone, even though they're wrong and they know they're wrong, when you forgive them, they have a relief and a release, don't they? Right? He begins to cry and he begins to repent. You see it happening here. You're a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil. Who is David showing himself to be like? God in Christ. Every time we forgive, every time we don't give somebody what they deserve, even though they deserve it, we show who God is like, right? And we do that because why? We've received that, haven't we? Yes, we have. And he says, may the Lord reward you well for the kindness you have shown me today. And now I realize you are surely going to be king, and Israel will flourish under your rule. So here's what Saul says back to David, right? I can see why God chose you. You're a good man, David. You are just like God is. What a great day for David. What a difference he made in the life of Saul and what he showed to his men, right? Awesome. That's what we want to be like, correct? Yes. Very nice. Next chapter, 1 Samuel 25. Samuel dies. All Israel gathered for his funeral. They buried him near his home at Ramah. Then David moved down the wilderness of Moan. There was a wealthy man from Moen who owned property near the village of Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep and 3,000 goats, and it was sheep-shearing time. This man's name was Nabal, and his wife Abigail was a sensible and beautiful woman. But Nabal, a descendant of Caleb, was mean and dishonest in all his dealings. When David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep, he sent 10 of his young men to Carmel. He told them to deliver this message: peace and prosperity to you, your family, and everything you own. What a great guy David is, how he's approaching Nabal, right? I am told that you're shearing your sheep and goats. While your shepherds stayed among us near Carmel, we never harmed them, and there was nothing ever stolen from them. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you this is true. So would you please be kind to us, since we have come at a time of celebration? Please give us any provisions you might have on hand. David's young men gave this message to Nabal and waited for his reply. So what do you suppose Nabal's going to do? He gets a wonderful greeting. David tells Nabal, I've been taking care of your sheep and your shepherds. We make sure nobody harmed them. And what is David expecting? Something in return, right? Have you not done good to people from time to time? And particularly you remind them maybe of what the good is, or maybe you remind God of the good that you've done, and you're asking for something in return, right? And what do? You expect something good in return, don't you? Right? Of course we do. Who is this fellow, David? Nabal sneered. Who does this son of Jesse think he is? Not exactly the response that David was expecting, is it? There are lots of servants these days who run away from their masters. Should I take my bread and water and that meat I've slaughtered from my shearers and give it to a band of outlaws who come from who knows where? This Nabal's not a nice guy, is he? So David's messengers returned and told him what Nabal had said. So we know how David is, right? He's kind. He's merciful. He just had forgiven Saul, who was hunting him down trying to kill him, right? And he has a conscience, right? So what do you expect David to say in response? No problem. No big deal. We'll find another way to do this. Get your swords! Was David's response. 400 men started off with David and 200 remained behind to guard their equipment. Verse 20. David said, a lot of good it did to help this fellow. We protected his flocks in the wilderness and nothing he owned was lost or stolen. But he repaid me evil for good. May God deal with me severely if even one person is left alive and tomorrow morning in his family. We're going to kill them all. What happened? What happened to David? What happened to David of the cave? What happens when we have expectations of other people? What happens when we expect a reward from somebody we've done good to or just from anybody else? What happens when you so sweetly ask for something ever so gingerly and ever so tenderly? What do you expect in return? Kindness back, right? Isn't that right? And when you forgive someone, what do you expect from them? To forgive you. And what happens when they don't? What happens when they don't return the favor? Get your swords! Reaction. Reaction. Human reaction is dangerous, isn't it? See, there's two scenarios we just heard. One is a response by the conscience, by God, and David being in touch with the proverb. Remember, he knew scripture. He was in touch with God's and God's anointed one, and he knew what that meant. So he was following God's guidance in the one scenario, right? Next scenario, who's he following? Himself, his ego, right? You see what the difference is here? How many of you want to be good all the time? Thank you, thank you. The audience can't see me asking you to raise your hands. That's good. We want the right response, don't we, with others? Do you want to have good relationship with others? Do you want to be like Christ? Yes. So in the two scenarios, which David should we follow? Gee, the obvious answer, right? I mean, this is profound teaching. You got to admit it. I mean, we pretty much can get it, can't we, this morning out of this message, right? See, when we don't expect good to return from us and we expect it to come from God and God alone, because God's going to take care of our enemies, right? We don't have to seek revenge. God will deal with them. And God will reward us, right? Remember Jesus said that? For all the good that you do, whatever you give up for God, He'll give you, God will give you back. So if you're not worrying about what people do for you and you only wait on God to give you back your reward, then you have a different expectation, don't you? And you also have a better reaction. Because here's what transpires in that second story. Abigail has to intervene. God uses Abigail to talk some sense into David. Because David was in line to be king. And if David killed all these people, God would have taken that position from him. See, sometimes what we do in reaction to somebody else hurts us and hurts the people around us, doesn't it? And it can make matters worse, can't it? Yes. And we never use good examples by seeking and getting revenge on others. Although that's what we're taught in humanity. Get them, right? Get even. You never get even. You always lose. So you even get odd. In 1 Samuel 25, verse 26, it says, "Bless you, Abigail, from keeping me from murdering the man and carrying out vengeance with my own hands." And, oh, by the way, you know what happened to Nabal later at the end of this chapter here? He has a stroke, and 10 days later he dies from being so mean. So, anyway, God is the one that took care of Nabal, right? Not that all our enemies need to die, but what I'm saying is God, let God deal with your problems and your concerns and the people that hurt you. Let God be the judge, right? So that you can be promoted, so you can be used by God to give God glory. Now, what difference does it make to how we react to others? A big difference, a big difference. It makes a difference to your soul, to your heart, and as other people around you are watching, it also shows who are you following. I don't know about you, but if I say I'm a Christ follower and I'm going around getting vengeance and not forgiving others, am I really showing what Christ is like? Not a bit. So I can't be a hypocrite about that, can I? I have to let my conscience guide me and let the Word of God, who tells me, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Forgive others as God forgives you, right? And even if Nabal was a nasty, mean person, we don't have to react in kind, do we? In fact, Jesus said, if someone slaps you on your cheek, give them the other one too. So hard to believe. So hard to understand. But how many times was Jesus slapped around the night he died, brutally? A good man, right? We don't always get what we deserve, do we? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? So what's the difference between the two stories? In one case, we know that David followed his conscience, God's will, the Holy Spirit, wanted to do what was right. The second scenario, he just reacted without even thinking. Be careful of automatic responses. For example, if I was to walk up to one of you, and all of a sudden, I stomped on your foot. Now, that might be an automatic response, right? Ow. Now, somebody else, I grab around the neck, they might have a response, right? Who said kick? Of course. Of course. Of course. Pow, damn, boom. Our natural response would be what? To fight back, right? That's our natural, normal response. And I'm not saying if somebody attacks you that you have to just, you know, not fight back. I'm not saying not defend yourself. But there's a little bit of overreaction every once in a while. Is there not? Is there, you know, every once in a while, you know, you're at the store, you know, the line and the boop, boop, boop line. You know the line I'm talking about? You're hearing it boop, 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 boop. The person in front of you and you're in a big hurry, right? And that person is like, can you price check this for me? And the booping stops. And you're like, I've got to get to church. I've got to get to church. I've got to get to church. Reaction, right? What David did in the first scenario was he stopped and waited before he reacted. He stopped and said, what would God want me to do? His conscience bothered him, right? It caught him, right, and said, oh, wait, no, don't do that. So we need a space between something happening to us or doing something to us. You hear something somebody says about you, or you read a post on Facebook and you just want to rip into them on the next comment page or whatever the thing might be, right? Nobody ever does that. Anyhow. Right? But if you stop in between, what a difference of how you look and what it appears that if you just, you know, go do something else and then come back and you let God speak, what a difference, right? Wouldn't we have a more peaceful world in general if we all stopped reacting to each other? Well, how about we start with that, right? Start with it in your own lives, in your own relationships, in every situation that comes your way. Instead of automatically responding and reacting, especially if it's a negative thing that comes your way, stop. Think about David. Which David do I want to be today? Who do I really want to be like, church? Christ, right? All right, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond, not react? That makes a difference, does it not? Yes. So we're going to do better, right? How are you going to be different? How is that going to happen? You're going to know the Word of God. You're going to know the scriptures and listen to your conscience. When your conscience speaks to you, which is your inner Holy Spirit guidance, listen to that. And you'll have a great, awesome day. And we can pull out 1 Samuel 25 out of the Bible for you. Because you don't have to go after Nabal or anybody else like him. Here we are in the midst of Lent. We're changing and growing, aren't we? And we know we're becoming different, aren't we? And you're going to apply what I taught you today, aren't you? And what a difference you should see in all your relationships and how God will promote you. We'll wait and see how that happens as well. Amen? Amen.